This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Fleegs is getting his voice back, so maybe we'll bring Fleegs in. I'm making Marco stay in right now. Ray is learning how to produce. And the master Fleegs is showing him some things. I want to cue up something that I just heard. Bob Pop actually retweeted Art Stapleton, and they're responding to license plate guy and Trey Wingo talking about the state of the New York Football Giants and what's going on. And I'm just like, the national narrative and the local narrative, what we talk about on The Fan and what we've lived every single day, not just this year, but the year before and the year before and the year before, like to get to this point, it's just so different, but everybody's helicoptering in. So let's hear Trey Wingo talking about what the Giants are up to and what they're doing right now.
So players can't tank in the NFL because if a player doesn't play well, they either won't have their contract renewed or someone will look at that tape and they'll say, I don't want that guy. Organizations, though, organizations can tank. Welcome to the New York Football Giants. They don't want to pay Daniel Jones' salary, so they're keeping as far away from the bench as possible. He's number three on the quarterback position now. But that's not the interesting part.
Four.
The interesting part is they're going with their third stringer, Tommy DeVito, over Drew Lock. Keep in mind, they're paying Drew Lock $5 million a year this season to not play. Because if he plays, they have a better chance of winning. And that would increase their chances of getting a higher draft pick. So let's go with Tommy DeVito, who we're paying a lot less, and it's probably not going to play as well, so we can get a better draft pick and replace Daniel Jones. And oh, by the way, this is all the Giants' fault because they chose to pay Saquon Barkley, or not pay Saquon Barkley, and he's kicking ass in Philadelphia, and they doubled down on Daniel Jones, and now he's on the bench. This is how organizations tank in the NFL.
All right. Marco, I'll let you react first. Go for it.
I feel like my head's going to explode. Look. If you look at it that way, that is the most simplistic, dumbass way to look at this situation. Break it down for a second. Think about it. You know Daniel Jones is not the starter, correct? We all are in agreement. Daniel Jones is no longer the starter for the Giants. They needed to move on.
Finally,
they need to move on from Daniel Jones' era. Make him the third string because make sure that that insurance clause doesn't kick in. And we've seen
fourth
enough.
String. Sign Tim Boyle and make Tim Boyle.
So you know that. Okay. Now everybody's hung up on, and why didn't you go to Drew Lock? You're paying him $5 million. You're 2-8, correct? Is this about this year or is this about moving forward?
It doesn't matter.
Is Drew Lock part of your future?
Drew Lock does not matter.
He will never be part of your future.
He'll be ever. Gone next year. And that $5 million is nothing.
And the idea that Drew Lock gives you a better chance to win? No, he doesn't. Have you ever watched him play?
Good.
He's awful.
He's not good.
They're going to Tommy DeVito for one simple reason. They need to see if Tommy DeVito could possibly be a backup in the NFL.
Sure.
So that next year, you don't have to get the likes of a Drew Lock.
Yeah, do we keep him? Yeah.
And you can pay DeVito $1 million to be your backup if he proves that he could be a viable backup option.
As he improves.
Or a bridge if you draft a quarterback and you go, you know what, can DeVito play for 3 or 4 weeks until this guy, if he's not ready, if they go that route. They need to find out what DeVito is. They know what Daniel Jones is, no longer part of the organization. They know what Drew Lock is. He sucks. Now they got to find out what Tommy DeVito is. This is simplistic to me. It's not tanking. It's not. If you think that the Giants look at this as Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the one way that they can lose their job, and I'm not saying this is the right way to look at it, but the one way that these guys can get shown the door, if they look awful and the team quits and this team finishes 2-15 or 3-13, 3-14, whatever mm-hmm. you see, you think John Mara is going to look at it and go, well, we got a better draft pick. He's going to look at it and go, I gave you a chance. You gave me every reason to now say thank you for this draft pick, and now I'm going to hire somebody who's not incompetent so that they can make this pick. Daboll and Shane want to win games down the stretch. That you can say is against the organizational philosophy, but that's their philosophy for survival. Because if they look pitiful, if they give you the Joe Judge, Jake Fromm quarterback sneak 3 times in a row, they will be shown the door. And that draft pick that every Giant fan is dreaming about right now will get picked by 2 other guys.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you now, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll don't give a rat's ass if somebody else is making that pick. They care if they're making that pick. This is survival. Drew Lock is not part of your past. He's not part of your present. He's not part of your future.
And that $5
That's why he's not playing.
I know to us,
you flushed it.
It sounds like a lot of money, but they didn't like that's what a Drew Lock gets paid, and they didn't factor that into anything. It doesn't matter.
Look, one, you flushed it. Two, the reason they signed Drew Lock. Well, why didn't you just keep DeVito as the backup? Because going into the season, let's not do revisionist history. Going into the year, Daniel Jones was going to be your starter, but he was coming off an ACL injury. You didn't know if he was going to be ready for the season. You needed an NFL caliber quarterback.
Tyrod signed with the Jets. Goodbye.
They wanted Tyrod Taylor. That's a lot of money to pay Tyrod Taylor. The Giants decided, you know what? We're not spending that much for a guy that's not going to play a lot, because if Jones isn't ready, it's only going to be a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we got to see him play. And you could go, well, why did you need to see him play? Because you need to find out for 100% certain that you're going to get out from this contract at the end of this year or not. This was the year for Daniel Jones. So they had to make sure that they played him at some point when he was ready. He wound up being ready week one. Drew Lock never sees the field. This was an insurance policy for the beginning of the season, or if things are going okay and Jones is hurt for, say, 2 to 3 weeks and you need to keep afloat. That's what Drew Lock is there for. Once you're 2-8, Drew Lock serves zero purpose.
It's a wrap.
None. You could actually, you wouldn't because of, you know, locker room and veteran.
You're not competing.
Whatever.
You
could actually cut him today and have Tim Boyle serve as the three just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter anymore.
It's over.
This is DeVito's show to find out if he is part of your future. Not, I'm not insane. I don't think he's your quarterback franchise of the future. No. But is he going to be part of the process where he's a two? If he's a viable backup or a bridge quarterback, the Giants need to know that, and they need to know it now. The only way to do that is to play him for the rest of the season.
Let's find out. We're about to find out against a bunch of all right teams, the Bucks, the
Cowboys.
But it's
the NFL.
The Saints, right.
You're going to face NFL caliber teams and see what it is.
His second year in the system, his second year in the NFL, having some confidence off of what he did last year winning. Let's see if he's going to build off of that. Drew Lock, whatever. Daniel Jones, whatever.
Right.
Tanking, whatever. Here's one more other thing for you, right? Like, because this is how I see it. I don't think they're, even if Tommy DeVito is improved or better, I still don't think they're winning games. I still don't. I think regardless, they're going to lose out and get a top five pick.
They may. They very well may. But again, that's not what this is about, because you can't go about it that way. I know in the fantasy world or in the video game world and anything that's not reality, I understand the concept of wanting to lose. It makes sense in a vacuum. But we forget that these are human beings that will lose their job if you lose games on purpose. Now, you could say, well, again, you put yourself in a position. The owner could tell you all he wants. Unless he guarantees you in writing that you're coming back next year, you don't believe him.
Things
so you're
change.
Trying to win games each and every
make
week.
Things change.
And if you lose the locker room, if you lose the temperament of the player, you're gone. It doesn't really matter.
The reports are because of the Nick McCloud stuff. They don't like Joe Shane. Now Dexter Lawrence says something about, oh, QB1 is Daniel Jones, blah, blah, blah. So, no, all of that stuff is in play. But, like, it goes back to, you know, the local narrative versus the national narrative. And I'm literally right now trying to find Dan Duggan, who was on the Scoop City podcast with Chase Daniel and Diana Russini, talking about how Like, John Mara doesn't tank. He doesn't believe in tanking. He doesn't care. Like, and he said when he first joined the Giants beat, there was a time where, I forget what happened, but Mara came in to like, yell at them and be like, we're not tanking. There's no tanking. But then
he's definitely old school. My guess is that year that you're talking about was probably 17, coming off the playoff year. Everything went to garbage, and the Giants wind up with the number two pick. Hello, Saquon Barkley. That would probably be my guess. And John Mara didn't want to.
I'll find it, but that probably is right. Where they're like, no, we're not. Like, why would we be trying to tank? And then the national narrative. Chase Daniel writes on November 18th. No Drew Lock. Why in the hell did you sign him for $5 million? The Giants really trying to lose. Really trying to lose. They're 2-8.
Look, I would actually push back. If you were really trying to lose, you would play Drew Lock. Drew Lock has been awful everywhere he went. I don't want to hear about it. In Seattle. He looked good.
I mean, just a little bit we've seen of him in this offense, in the preseason when he got hurt, and even in
that game against the Eagles. I think that was Brian Daboll. That game was a disaster, and it was a mess, and it was in the fourth quarter, and it was already over. When Daboll pulled Jones to see Lock, I think that was the little bit that he needed to see to reaffirm to him, wow, this guy's awful. I can't play him. And I think in practice, I'm not there in practice. And maybe I'm crazy.
From what I've read, DeVito is better in practice than him.
Because I don't think Drew Lock is a good quarterback. And I think everybody knew that. And I think the Giants even had a little bit of buyer's remorse that, man, good thing Daniel Jones was ready. Not that it really mattered. For the beginning of the season. Because if we had to go to Drew Lock, this would have been a mess. He's not a good quarterback. I mean, everybody's been arguing over Daniel Jones or whether or not he's any good. Jones is light years better than Drew Lock. Light years. Yeah. And that tells you something. Because Daniel Jones is no longer a starter in the NFL. Again, it's nonsense to think that Drew Lock was going to walk in here and actually be better. He was going to be worse. But it still goes back to the same premise. You know what Drew Lock is. The whole point of this now is to find out what Tommy DeVito is. Now, I'm not sold that he could be a backup in the NFL. I don't think the Giants are either. The only reason they're even giving him this shot is because last year when they were pressed and they had no reason they had no choice. They had to play Tommy DeVito last year. They're on quarterback three. He showed more than they expected. They were stunned. Remember the game against the Jets?
They didn't even want him to throw the ball.
When he came in relief against the Jets, Brian Daboll was literally scared for him to throw the ball. It was like he had to work with a high school quarterback, and he was like, oh, man, if we could just not throw the ball, maybe we can win this on defense. And eventually, as the season went on and the games that he started, they put a little more on his plate, and they were like, man, he's somewhat viable here.
He competes.
Maybe.
He's got some moxie.
Maybe there's
about
something
him.
Here. And now you went into this year where it was, you know what, let's keep him on the roster. Maybe there is something we can build with him. Now they got to find out, have we gotten to the point where it's built from last year to now to into next year where he's gone from undrafted, practice squad, third string to, you know what? You're the backup quarterback. You're the bridge. Whatever you want to call it. You're not the future, but part of the organization.
Yeah, we'll keep you with us.
With the idea that, you know what? Hey, we found undrafted quarterbacks before. Maybe 3 years from now, Tommy DeVito is the next great story. Maybe they think that. But more importantly, they don't know. They know what Daniel Jones is now. They know what Drew Lock is. This is all about finding out the last piece. That's all your season's about right now.
Yeah, and there's more value in playing Tommy DeVito at least Sunday and wherever else we go than playing Drew Lock. And the national story is going to be, why'd you pay him $5 million? Why is he here? But really, I think we all know where we're at. And I think the fans, I mean, it's not going to sell tickets because I don't like that. I just think it's stupid. People are like, you got to sell tickets. No, but the fans also are more excited about Tommy DeVito playing than Drew Lock from their couches.
I don't think they're great. And it's a local kid and the story, the Tommy Cutlets. That only goes so far. Last year, again, when everything was a mess, maybe it was something. But you've also seen that story. Anybody running out to MetLife?
No, the sequel is not going to be better than the original. No, sorry, folks.
To see the Sopranos meme? No, they're not. They want to see if Tommy DeVito is actually for real. That's what the Giants want to see, too. And again, this is not about for real that he's your next franchise. The idea that you think that I'm selling you that Tommy DeVito is your Patrick Mahomes, you're insane. All I'm telling you is Drew Lock is Blaine Gabbert. You know what that is. There's no reason to play that. You see more of Jake Locker? No. You know what that is. That's what Drew Lock is. Welcome to that. It's okay. He's going to have a good career as a backup. He's going to hold a clipboard for a lot of different teams. He's going to get paid. Good for Drew Lock. This is not a personal thing. He may be a guy that three or four games, he can come in and keep your season afloat, which is what a backup quarterback is supposed to do. But he is not a guy that you can play for a full year. He's not a guy that you need to see 7-8 games to go, do I want him on my roster next year? You don't. And that's where the Giants are.
And that's Marco Belletti, ladies and gentlemen. I was like, hey, you know, stay right here. We need to have this conversation on air. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mark out on Staten Island.
Hey, Keith. How you doing? First-time caller.
Thanks for calling in. I'm doing well.
All right. So, everybody's bashing Daniel Jones. I'm an ex-offensive lineman. You're an ex-football player yourself. What position did you play?
Quarterback, and then I just was trying to get on the field, try to pick up wide receiver, kick return, punt return. It's hard to get on the field. There's only one quarterback.
All right. Sometimes you got to multitask. I was an offensive lineman, all right? And never did one of my quarterbacks get the punishment like Daniel Jones. Not one.
Are you talking about getting hit?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy got sacked 10 times a game.
And he ran the ball a ton.
The plays were designed to run. And he ran the ball after having that injury. So I know he was overpaid. It's not his fault. I know that he's a big disappointment, right? You know, he makes some bad decisions. You're getting smacked around like he got smacked around. I'm sorry. The blame goes to the offensive line and the play calling.
There should be more shouldering of the blame than just Daniel Jones sucks. He's never good. It was a way, like, it's a team thing. When the team does well, the quarterback gets too much of the praise. When the team does bad, the quarterback gets too much of the fault.
It goes with the territory. I agree. But everybody bad. Oh, terrible. The poor bastard had how many offensive coordinators, how many coaches? I mean, he's never had the same system. I didn't like him being drafted. I wasn't happy when he was drafted. I wanted that defensive end that was a stud that they could have taken out.
Josh Allen coming out of Kentucky. I thought it was a guarantee they were going to take him. I was at the Ainsworth in the city. The reaction of the people I was around that are Giants fans, you would think they got shot.
Yeah, I was super excited when Saquon got drafted because I'm an offensive lineman, and I wanted the running game. And so, I mean, but again, you know, I mean, I don't really love a lot of the quarterbacks that are out there for this draft. I mean, there's some good ones, but then you got the 2 or 3 year, you know, learning curve. So the Giants are done for the next 3. You've got to go out and get some. Maybe Aaron Rodgers comes to the Giants. I don't know. I mean, not that, well, you know, it's
tankathon,
not his fault either.
Tankathon.com. has the New York Giants picking number 4, taking Cameron Ward from the University of Miami. Thanks for the call, Mark. 888-808-1019. Yeah, we also know that, like, Daniel Jones, like, I saw something today that was posted. Like, Daniel Jones was a 0-star recruit out of high school. Daniel Jones was a walk-on at Duke. Yeah, and then he got overdrafted at 6 overall. And then he ended up signing a $40 million a year, $160 million contract. He ended up earning $108 million for the Giants, played 70 games for the Giants. He finessed the bag. So, yeah, he has to shoulder a lot of that blame, and he also has got to shoulder that big money bag as well. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. Jay is in Nassau County on the fan. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, hello. Thanks. Thank you so much, Keith, for taking my call. I just wanted to say it's crazy the fact that Daniel Jones, they took him 11 weeks to bench him. He was, the beginning of the season, of course you have to start him because you're paying him $40 million. But then after like 3-4 weeks, he's clearly not doing well. You want to give him maybe 5-6 weeks. 11 weeks is too much. And also the fact that anyone's saying that Drew Lock should be starting is just insane. Tommy DeVito is not, he's not a good quarterback. He's not a starting quarterback, but he could be better than Drew Lock. But who was it was saying to your guy that, we don't know what Tommy DeVito is.
No, we don't know if he's improved, if he's better at reading the defense, if he's better at throwing the ball downfield, if he's better at, like, we're about to find out. And that is a better move than, like, throwing Drew Lock out there because you paid him $5 million to be the backup. Like, and I think there's a realistic shot that, like, and I don't wish injury on any football player, any person ever, but there's a realistic shot that, like, there's enough games left. What is it, 6 games left? Like, who knows if Tommy DeVito takes all of those snaps? You might end up seeing Drew Lock anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know that Drew Lock is not a quarterback that can win you 6 games. That can't win you 2 games. He can't win you games.
No, either way, Tommy it's DeVito a tank. Might. Either way, you should most likely be in the top 5 picks. Like, either way. But these guys got a coach, and they made a coaching decision. And even what you're saying about how long it took them to bench Daniel Jones, I want to say they had this plan. Like, all right, by the time we get to the bye week, we're going to assess. By the time we get to the bye week, let's see where we are. I mean, they're 2-8. People had them going 0-8. Thanks for the call, Jay. 888-808-1019. All this talk about what? All this talk about nothing. Really, for me, I just was like, yo, the national narrative is hilarious. They always got to bring Saquon into it. They're calling it a tank and a tank and a tank and a tank. But, like, I honestly feel like you can't tank as a GM and as a coach because, especially here in New York, you're not safe. These Giants fans are massive. There's a lot of them. Like, as a group, there's a lot of them. And you might not see them all the time because it's not really a proud time to be a Giants fan. But if things keep going this way, they will show up to East Rutherford. They will be calling into the fan. They will make their voices heard. Where, like, yeah, you're watching Tommy DeVito, but you're also watching Brian Daboll and how he coaches and the decision-making in games and the play calling and how he moves. You know, someone said something about Woody Johnson and his bag of tricks. I'm like, there's no bag of tricks left for Woody Johnson. The bag of tricks better be Brian Daboll. Fake punt, flea flicker. Like, better do anything you can to get an advantage. Coming up against Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and the Buccaneers, who, like, not for nothing, the Buccaneers were a playoff team last year. The Buccaneers won their division last year. The Buccaneers are trying to be a playoff team again this year. They just had a rough go at it. I was saying earlier in the show, they lost four in a row, but in all those games, they scored 20 points. The Giants struggled to score 20 points. So you mean to tell me that putting Tommy DeVito in at quarterback against a team that loses and puts up 20, 23, 24, like, is Tommy DeVito all of a sudden magically going to make the Giants offense go where they can beat the Buccaneers 30-20? And you also mean to tell me that this Giants defense, which you cannot take that out of the Tommy Cutlet special that we got last year. You got a little sauce, mozzarella, and what you got was turnovers and defensive play. Those games were affected by Wink Martindale's defense. That doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. So you can't tell me that Tommy Cutlets is just going to go out there and Malik Nabers is going to go crazy, Tyrone Tracy, oh yeah, get Jalen Hyatt back involved. Like, I don't see it, man. I do not see it. Before we go to break, Ray in Brooklyn, tell me something. You're back on the fan.
Yo, Keith, man, check it out. I think we're talking about the wrong things, and I think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are happy about that because we should be talking about them not returning because just like the quarterback, they've done nothing since year one, and the only time that they did have success was with Gettleman's guys who everybody seems to hate, right? Sexy Dexy, you know, Daniel Jones,
Andrew Thomas. Buffy,
those are all, yeah. Andrew Thomas, those are all Gettleman's guys. So these guys have literally done nothing squat you know what. And so the other thing is that I'm tired of hearing about the narrative that this guy can fix quarterbacks. I know he can break them. They broke Daniel Jones by not getting him.
Daniel Jones regressed. Daniel Jones went the other way.
Yo, and they couldn't even get him back on track. Josh Allen was going to succeed no matter what. Once Stephon Diggs got there, that's when he took the next step in his progression. Not because of Daboll. Daboll was there since 2018. Josh Allen sucked in 18 and 19 and 20. Then when Stephon Diggs got there, that's when the maturation took place. That's when the growth and development took place. I know that Stephon Diggs wound up being like a little bit of cancer afterwards, and I was glad to see him go because I'm a Josh Allen fan.
But they got him a number one wide receiver, right, and he really blossomed into what we're seeing now, where it don't matter if it's Khalil Shakir, it don't matter if it's Curtis Samuel, it don't matter if it's Mac Hollins, whoever, he's going out there and he's balling.
Yo, Keith, bottom line is it had nothing to do with Brian Daboll. He was going to be a beast regardless. Once he got that confidence going, it's just like Mahomes or anybody else. Once you can succeed with anybody, once you get it going. And this last thing I'm going to say is, what culture has he built? Because he's got a culture where everybody spouts off, whether it's Thibodeau, whether it's, Neighbors who's throwing the quarterback.
Sexy Dexy just said something. Now there's anonymous people talking to Jordan Schultz. Like,
dude, What have they done? They need to go. I swear to God that these guys better not return.
They are living off of one playoff win against a fraudulent Minnesota Vikings team and a shiny Coach of the Year trophy. Exactly. It's just, I don't know, man. They have made a ton of mistakes with contracts. Some of the guys that they've let go. Some guys that they even like, they've made a ton of mistakes, but they have like carte blanche. And like Mara keeps talking about it. They also are safe because of Pat Shurmur, Ben McAdoo, Joe Judge. John Mara's like, I'm tired of shuffling through coaches. This is who I have. And these guys are sure that they're here for the rest of the 2020s.
Well, you know what, Keith? That's not a good enough reason to keep people. I know C-Mac was on after you. That's like his only reason for trying to validate why they should return. That's just not for the sake of the
because they got to get their quarterback, right? They got to get their quarterback. They got to have the opportunity. Yeah, and that's a good theory. But at the same time, I was saying earlier, you need to have a sense of urgency. Thanks for the call, Ray. 888-808-1019. If you are so comfortable in your job that you are sitting back with your feet up, as we saw Brian Daboll consistently kick back with his feet up, if you are not coaching and making decisions with the fear of losing that job, you get too comfortable. And comfort is the enemy of progress. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 13 minutes left. Let's break it down. I'll take the rest of your calls and I'll pass it off to C-Mac. BRB.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we're back. This that great coupon at 8 beyond that TED Talk. Hey. All right, I'm about to get out of here. I got a couple calls to take. We're working on finding some audio. I could not find it because Twitter, they X Elon Musk machine sucks, man. And like, I get it why people are deleting Twitter and getting off social media and going to Blue Sky. I just read there's like a million people a day going to Blue Sky. But like, one of the great things about Twitter is you could see a tweet. And if you just remembered the parts of the tweet, like I'm on Twitter searching Diana Russini, Chase Daniel, Dan Duggan, John Mara, Scoop City, and it's not populating it for me. Like, the dumbest thing just came up when I did that. It was, like, showing me real estate. I'm like, this is because I put in City? Scoop City is the name of their podcast. Anyway, I was getting frustrated with that, but I knew to ask for help. Ray and Fleegs went to work on it. Let me know when you guys find the, okay, Fleegs has it. Fleegs, you're the man. Have the audio that I was referencing before when I was talking to Marco about, like, the Giants aren't tanking. Like, I know fans want to tank. And, you know, I'm even going through this right now with Brooklyn Nets fans who are talking about tanking. And I'm like, they are not thinking about lottery balls. They are not thinking about June right now. They're thinking about how to come up with strategy, plans of attack, rotations, matchups, schemes to win the game tonight. That stuff will work itself out. So as much as fans, yes, in theory, want to tank for Trevor, and then that doesn't go right. Like, you can't do that. So here is Dan Duggan on the Scoop City podcast with Diana M. Russini and Chase Daniel talking about his experience as a Giants beat reporter and a time where he, you know, heard from John Mara and he knew, like, you know, there will be no tanking in this organization.
Are they trying to, like, save their jobs by, like, oh, we're going to draft Shedeur Sanders. Oh, we're going to draft Cam Ward. That's what I got out of it.
That's the one thing I can kind of safely rule out. That's just not how John Mara would ever sign off on operating. It's funny. He came down to the press room. Only time he's ever done it, my 9 years on the beat, 2017, after they benched Eli Manning and all that. And he said something about, I heard we're benching him because we're tanking. So that's bullshit. I'll never do that. So, like, again, that's as strongly as he can say it. He's not someone who just throws curses around in press conferences. So they're not going to actively tank. And listen, I think it'd be crazy, unless Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have gotten, like, ironclad, you're coming back no matter what, I don't think they're in position to tank.
There it is. And, of course, Fleeks tells me, he's like, I just Googled it. I Googled what you told me you were searching for. I'm like, oh, the actual search engine. Yeah, the search engine yields actual results, not Twitter. Anyway, 888-808-1019, C-Max in the building. I'm leaving the Hal Steinbrenner Juan Soto quotes for him so I can enjoy his takes and his show. I did that, I don't know, 3 hours ago during my show. Let's continue the conversation around whatever you guys want to talk about. I've got three different topics, and that's perfectly fine. Howard is in Forest Hills. Howard, you're on the Fan.
Hi, we're running out of time, so three topics. So you went to school in Monmouth?
Yes, I graduated Monmouth University.
Okay, I like Red Bank a lot as a town. I think it's a really nice town.
It's great. There's good food there. Yeah. It's you know, right by the water. There's some good schools there.
Yeah. The other thing is that they had a funny article, not an article, a letter to the editor of the New York Times, a guy from Buffalo, and he says, we get temps of snow, obviously, bad weather. It's snowing all the time. Why aren't they building a dome stadium?
Oh, that'll take away their advantage. That'll take away their home field advantage. That's what they do out there. They're out there in the snow and overalls only.
Yeah, but you look at college players. They have college players who came from, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota. They're used to playing in bad weather. I mean, come on.
They got to go to Buffalo. That's part of it. They go to a Buffalo and they adapt to that culture and that climate. And that's the thing, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to be the Miami Dolphins coming into Buffalo in January.
All right, whatever. I think we have plenty of college players.
I would build a dome. But, you know, as I was roasting Jerry Jones, he built a dome with a retractable roof and didn't upkeep it for 2 years, and now they got issues with that.
Okay, so the last thing you talked about, the fun and games with college recruitment, you know, from high school players.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I saw a movie called Johnny Be Good, and it's pretty funny about all the games and the recruiting things and the cheerleaders and accolades, you know, for trying to get a high school quarterback to play, you know, on the college team. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. I would Google it.
I think one day we did a football movie list, and that did make the football movie list, but I've never saw that. That movie was made when I was born, so I have to go back and look at that one, but I'm sure they depict the high school quarterback going to college and they try to hook it up for you. They try to, you know, make it seem like you could have whatever you want at that school.
No, it's pretty funny, the exaggerations in the film, and also the whole thing with relatives getting jobs, you know, along with him. And it's like the rise and fall of what happens to the kid, you know. I wouldn't put it like in the top football movie, but it's an amusing movie. I recommend it. It's worth watching. It's funny.
Holidays coming up. Thanks for the recommendation, Howard. Maybe I'll check it out. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I remember going down to James Madison University. I didn't even drink in high school. I was straight edge because I was so locked in on, like, I got to be good. I got to get good grades. Like, I had A's and B's. I forget what I got on the SAT. I think I scored, like, 1,100 on the SAT. I was able to, you know, get recruited, and I was straight edge. The first time I drank was at James Madison University. Because the kids that I was with, which I didn't realize they were kids, they were grown men to me. They're like, wait, you don't drink? You're not messing up our party. You're not about to be sober in our party. You better pick something. We got this. We got this. We got this. I started off with Natural Light. Next thing you know, we're doing a power hour. We're taking shots. They bring the field hockey girls in. They bring soccer girls in. Yeah, you get it. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, first off, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I've been calling the station for about 4 years, and that was a first for me.
It wasn't like you, but you know what it happens, man. I was putting you to sleep. Unlistenable, monotone, just
hang up and
you
listen.
Just fell asleep on me. I thought you were on the subway. I knew you weren't on the subway.
That's, I feel like I got to put out like one of those written PR statements, like Tom Brenneman, I'm a man of faith. To the people who scream,
this does
like,
not represent the person I am on the fan.
Oh my God! Anyway, well, you know, I was calling up about the Knicks. Listen, you look at a Phoenix team. I know they don't have KD. I think Beal was out too. I think overall, though, like I just saw a stat, the first time in a minute they put up a 130 plus in back-to-back games. I know, like, they just beat up on the Wizards or whatever, even the Nets. I mean, they look great, kind of something to that point, too. I mean, Jordy Fernandez and company, I think there's kind of something to that. You saw, you know, Mendoza was able to do with this under-the-radar Met team. I'm not saying the Nets are going to sneak into the playing team and go on a run, but, I mean, you kind of see them, you know,
they're competing. They shocked me just with what they did against the Hornets without Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton. I'm like, they have a young core of players that you can't tell those kids to tank. Like, they got a young coach that's trying to prove himself, and he wants to be the Nets coach for the next 10, 15 years. I am pleased with the Brooklyn Nets. I do not care about tanking. I do not care about Cooper Flagg or Harper or Bailey or any of these guys. Like,
a reason to watch,
Yeah.
A legitimate reason to watch, but I mean, you know, the Knicks take care of them twice, and then, I mean, Washington's whatever, but now Phoenix team, they got this trip on the road. You see Bridges finally coming into form. Towns is putting up like 30 a night, it feels like. I saw two. He's already put up more 30-point games so far this year than he did all of last year. He's got six, and last year wasn't like a down year or anything for him. He's got six so far this year. I mean, him and Brunson are clicking. I saw Hartenstein's first game tonight. He's throwing like behind the bench,
and they're not finishing it. I saw that clip too.
Here he is in one game, and he already wants out. But, I mean, listen, it looks like they're clicking so far. We're talking about, you know, all the calls you're taking tonight, Jets, Giants, you know, same old, just how much distress there is with the football teams. That Drew Locke sounds like a broken record. You know, talking about, I mean, if anything, he's probably more of a victim than Jones. People come up with the O-line and everything, the wheel of excuses. He got his money. He doesn't care. Those Drew Locke's looking for any type of gig he could get, and he basically got leapfrogged.
Yeah, he could have signed anywhere in the NFL potentially and got an opportunity when someone gets hurt, and he chose to come here, and nope.
Even the XFL or something. Yeah, he's a pushover for a guy who was a gimmick last year. If you think about it, there was legitimate logic to starting DeVito for the whole gimmick thing, because they know they're going to get more. They're going to get at least a few more, you know, people.
I don't know. They wanted to stop the gimmick last year. So like, that's another thing. People say, "Oh, it's to sell tickets." It's like, I don't think that they're going to sell many tickets. I don't think there's people like, "Oh, let me get my Tommy Cutlets hoodie out of the closet and go back to East Rutherford." I honestly think they weighed the two of like, do we put Drew Locke in here? There's nothing to evaluate with Drew Locke. Like, what do we gain from Drew Locke playing? If we're going
to
lose, it's like, let's evaluate Tommy DeVito and make a decision on him and his future with this team. Is he a serviceable backup in the NFL? Has he improved from year one to two in this system? I just was looking at Carl Banks on Twitter, and it seems like the talking heads of the Giants are all saying, like, he said, maybe I'm wrong here. And then he asked Justin Pennick from Talking Yanks and Dan Schneider. He said, who graded each player at the New York Giants camp? Did Tommy outperform Locke in camp? From what I saw, he did. Like, people are saying that, like, Tommy DeVito had better reps in preseason training camp and has just played better. And we know he's got more of a relationship and a better rapport with those Giants players.
Yeah, that's true. You saw him last year. I mean, the only thing you brought up yesterday, the only way you're getting people in the seats, you bring back those free medium Pepsis a couple years ago when they were firing Joe Judge for season ticket holders. Oh, my God. This city's a joke, man. But anyway, appreciate you letting me back on. Hopefully I won and done with the snoozing off.
Yeah. Be better, Ross. Be better listening to my show and calling in next time. Don't let me put you to sleep. 888. 808-1019. No, go to sleep. All of this gets podcasted. All of this is available for 24 hours on the Odyssey app. You also can listen to podcasts on the app. It's late, yo. It's late. I will be sleeping. I tell you guys all the time, I rock with y'all, and I appreciate y'all that stay up to listen to me live, because there is not one human being that if I worked all day, I would stay up and listen to. Not one. Not one. Especially in this digital age where you can get everything. It's not like this is 1993 where it's, I missed a show. That's it. Like, no. No, you can get all of this. So last call of the night goes to Popcorn Rob in Babylon. And before I go to Popcorn Rob, I will reiterate my stance on the quotes that we got today, which I call bars. They were Hal Steinbrenner, baby boss bars, standing on business bars, basically telling y'all what you need to hear as Yankee fans or Yankee fan haters, Yankees haters. Like, Hal Steinbrenner is ready for this. Hal Steinbrenner is in it to win it. He's in the mix. He's saying all the things that you would want to hear as an update on November 20th, 24th. And if you want to twist him saying he has no idea how confident he should be about the signing of Juan Soto, if you want to twist in the mix to, you know, him trying to prepare the fan base for losing Soto, I didn't take it like that at all. He said we listen to our fans. He said he has ears. He had to remind you, like, he's got two ears, left and right. Like, he knows what's going on. He said he knows what's expected of him. I think that this is going to be entertaining. This is going to be interesting. And I think the Yankees have as good, if not better, with him being a Yankee this year and the Yankees trading players for him, you know, to sign him long term. I think the Yankees know, like I know, this is a different kind of guy. This is a different type of player. This is one of those guys that you pay upwards to $700 million. And you know what? You're not going to have to pay another guy like that again. 888-808-1019. Get your popcorn ready, because here comes Popcorn Rob.
Hey, Keith, man, first and foremost, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And that's the first thing, that I want to elaborate about. Keith, let me let you know something. There rarely has there been any player that when they come to free agent that they, you know, take the first deal, which is the minimum qualifying offer.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's the minimum qualifying offer. So now, but I don't even think what I think really what a minimum qualifying offer is that Scott Boras and, you know, his client goes to the organization and they say, listen, we don't even want to talk to you guys unless you're willing to pay this. That's before the season starts, because we already understand that he's going up for free agent. Now, Keith, the guy's not going anywhere. What happens is these other organizations, they set the bar. They get a good overview of what they're going to ask the Yankees for. But they want to go out there and they want to shop around just to see what these guys will pay. And then you know what? Because even with Aaron Judge, that same thing that he did. There's no player that the Yankees had that was superstars that signed on a minimum qualifying offer. It's not going to happen. Because what's going to happen is they're going to go out and they're going to tell these other guys, as a matter of fact, we're going to shake up your roster.
Okay, before I end, I got to clear that up. The qualifying offer, there's only one team that could give Juan Soto the qualifying offer. It's the Yankees, the team that he just played with. He turned it down, obviously. As far as an initial offer, right, the first offer that comes in, yeah, that's going to be a low number. Because there's negotiations, there's other teams involved. That's not going to be as high as you're willing to bid. It's a bidding war, and there's back and forth. So just like, I just had to clear that up. Qualifying offer? No. There's only one team that can offer him a qualifying offer, which was like $21.5 million. Of course he declined that. He's going to make way more than that. Now, we don't know what the initial offers from the Mets or the Dodgers or the Yankees are. We'll find out. T-Max coming up next. Listen to his show. I'll be back on tomorrow after Thursday Night Football. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.